Good morning, everyone. This morning I'm teaching Church in the Home. Where did this come from? How does this work? What's it all about? You know, just while we were praying and stuff, I just looked up another scripture that I want to include. But let's start with Romans chapter 16. Chapter 16, let's start in verse 3. It says here, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have, for my life, laid down their own necks." In other words, they helped him a lot. "Unto whom I not only give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." See, Paul was probably the greatest apostle in the first century, other than Jesus Christ himself, who was also an apostle and the Son of God. But he was the greatest of the apostles. But Paul never built a megachurch. Paul never got rich off of this. They didn't build, you know, a big crystal cathedral that seats 50,000 people and has got beautiful. He didn't go find the greatest architect. If you look at the architect in the Roman Empire in the first century, some of the greatest architecture of all times was built. They had the Colosseum at Rome. They had their big sports complex and had a retractable dome. This was 2,000 years ago. They had a canvas thing that they would put over top, and they had all these catacombs that they'd bring up animals, and they'd bring up gladiators. Couldn't think of the word. And they would sometimes flood part of it, and they'd have ships, and they'd do mock battles. Because they didn't have movie theaters back then, so that was their entertainment. And they had great architecture, because I studied architecture back in the 80s, and the first century, Rome in the first century, built some amazing things. So Paul could have went to one of those great Roman architects and said, "Look, we got this Christianity thing, it's growing, we're going to build a big mega church." And no, he never did that. In fact, he never got rich off of this. Let's flip over to Acts chapter 18. And here's that same Aquila and Priscilla that he was just mentioning there. In Acts chapter 18, we'll start in verse 1. "And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came unto Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus," wherever that is, "lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had demanded all the Jews depart from Rome," and so forth. "Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and they worked their occupation together, because they were tent makers." And I have a note here that it was saddle makers. Well, it doesn't matter what they were, but Paul had to work for a living. You know, here he is, the greatest apostle in the first century, wrote the big bulk of the New Testament. Between him and Luke, they wrote most of the New Testament. And here he is, he's having to work, you know. But that's quite often you see when you get these big mega churches, there's usually something wrong. I was criticizing some preacher, one of those TV preachers recently in the last few years on the internet, and this guy was worth like $120 million or $40 million or something. And it's when it gets that way, they're not really genuine anymore. And how the word moved in the first century is they did home fellowships. And they would they would teach out of there and so forth. But let me show you some more things here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. To see the beauty of a home fellowship is like everybody here gets to participate. Everybody here can chime in. If everybody here has a question, if you go to a mega church and there's 20,000 people sitting there, you can't raise your hand and say, what did you mean when you said home house church? What is that? I don't understand that, you know, church in the home. You can't raise your hand and do that, you know. It's just, because if 20,000 people did that, they'd never get anything done. So Colossians chapter 4, verse 15, and here's another one. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. Again, a guy had a church in his house. Let's go to Philemon. Here's a book we don't read very often. It's Timothy, Titus, Philemon. It's like, yeah, one chapter fits on about one page. In verse 2, and to our beloved Apphia, Apphia, I don't know how these people pronounce their names. You know, people are always naming their kids something out of the Bible. Nobody ever names their kid Apphia.
You never know.
Yeah. Or this one. Archippus, 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 and here's my little son, Archippus. I'm sorry, I'm making bad jokes here. Speaking of bad jokes.
Oh no, don't.
Yes, I'm recording. Speaking of bad jokes, there was, you know, we. Now we got all the texts, they're all digital, everything, you can look up all the Greek texts in digital format, PDF, you can, we have printing presses that make these Bibles. Well, in the old days, they had to copy word for word. They had scribes that would copy, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They'd have to copy it word for word. And they would have, it's a phone solicitor, just hang up on them. And they would copy these things word for word. And so this one guy was a monk in the Dark Ages. And his job was to copy stuff. And so he's copying these texts, you know, and they had Bible texts, and they also had church documents he had to copy. And he's copying this thing, and one day he came to the meal and he was crying. And he said, "Brother Andrew, why are you crying?" He says, "The word was celebrate."
I get it.
Think about it. That they left the R out.
He wrote celibate.
Instead of celebrate, it was celibate.
He wrote celibate. You celibate, and they were. Talking
and he
about
says the original
celibate.
In the original text, it was celebrate, not celibate. but see, that's what happens: is you get big churches and you get traditions passed on. And see, that's the beauty of the church in the home. See, this is my home. This is my little church, and I can do whatever I. If I want to tell a corny joke like I just told, there's nobody telling me you can't tell that joke. Somebody might get offended. You know, well, if you get offended at that joke, then you're a little too sensitive, because it is corny. It's not very funny, but it's really not very offensive either. But yeah. So let's go to Acts chapter.
Well, let's finish the and to the beloved Apphia.
And the church in thy house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did I not finish that? I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Yeah, and again, it said the church that was in his house. And let's go to Acts chapter 2. It's really bad when you got a joke and you got to explain the punchline. Yeah. Well, then you know your joke's not very good. And they, chapter 2, verse 46, I'm sorry, I didn't say. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread, and from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So they were, again, they were meeting in the homes. And I got another example here. In 1 Corinthians 16:19. So in the first century, church in the home was the norm. It wasn't an unusual thing, it was the normal thing. Chapter 16, verse 19, in 1 Corinthians. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla, again, those guys came up, salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So, let's go to Acts chapter 5. You see, in the Old Testament, they had they built the temple, and people would go to the temple, and they had a high priest, and they had certain times a year you'd go to the temple, and they'd have certain feasts. They had a lot of feasts, and one time a year they had the I think it was the Day of Atonement. I'm not really up on all my Jewish laws and all that history, and I learned it, and then I forgot a lot of that stuff because I, you know, don't practice it. But they'd have, like, the high priest would go to God. He'd be behind this thing. I did a thing a few years ago where I showed a graphic of the temple. They had the court of the Gentiles, and they had a wall, and then the Gentiles weren't allowed. And then the Jews were able to go in so far. Then they had another area only the priests and the Levites could go in, and then there was another area only the high priest could go in. Well, Jesus Christ gave us complete, full, and direct access to the Almighty God. We would have been, in the Old Testament, we would have been out in the court of the Gentiles, and that would have been as far as we could have got. Now we can go all the way in where the high priest was and have direct access to the Father. And Jesus Christ accomplished that for us. And because of that, we no longer have to have in the Old Testament, they'd have a prophet and would be the man of God, like Moses. God would tell Moses, God would put the Spirit on Moses occasionally, and Moses would then get revelation, would speak, and then the people could hear from God that way. Well, nowadays, we all, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have the Spirit within. Like we were talking about in manifestations, infused. It's in within every part of the fiber of our being. We have that Spirit within us. So we don't have to go to a prophet, a man of God. Each one of us can go to God directly. So each one of us can run a fellowship in our home, and we can have direct access to God. And we can say, God will say, why don't you teach on this morning? And say, okay, well, this morning we're teaching this. And we all can do that. And the Christianity had a fundamental change from the Old Testament, and on the day of Pentecost. And it's and so the norm then became church in the home. So in Acts chapter 5, I said verse 42. I'm looking at 24. I flipped the verse. I was going to say that doesn't look right. Okay. And again it says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Well, the reason they went to the temple is that was a public meeting place. So a lot, they could see a lot of people. Like you can only fit so many people in your home. I think the biggest home fellowship I ever did was about 40 people. And the most we've ever had in here was about 20-some. And we sat people in the, and we had some people sitting on the stairs, and we put the kids up on the loft up there. And I remember back in the 70s when I was a lot younger, a lot of us would sit on the floor. You know, we were, when you're 19 and 23, it's a lot easier to get on and off the floor than when you're 63. So it takes you a little more effort to get on and off the floor. So it's nice we got chairs. But again, I've been doing home fellowships since 1973, and it's God's been doing it since about 30 AD or 33 or whatever year that was.